listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, public health nursing.
Hello and welcome everyone to Wellness Wednesday on KYUK Radio. Today we're going to be talking about mental illness and behavioral health. The first week of October was Mental Illness Awareness Week, and last month, September, was Suicide Prevention Month. We believe that mental health conditions are important to discuss year-round, but highlighting them provides a dedicated time for mental health advocates across the country to come together as one unified voice. Since 1990, when Congress officially established the first full week of October as Mental Illness Awareness Week, advocates have worked together to sponsor activities, large or small, to educate the public about mental illness. Bethel Public Health Nursing and its friends consider mental illness and behavioral health extremely important in maintaining our community's health and resilience. So today we will talk about raising community awareness, understanding the link between substance abuse, depression, suicide, and violence. We will also be talking about what exactly mental health and mental illness is, as well as what resources are available for our communities here in the YK Delta. My name is Donna Bean, public health nurse at the Bethel Public Health Center, and today I have guests from YKHC and Bethel Family Clinic who will discuss how we can support ourselves, our loved ones, and our community when it comes to mental illness. Thank you so much to Danetta and Dennis for being here. Could you please each introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Hello and good morning. Thank you, Donna, for having me on KYUK's Wellness Wednesday. I am Dinetta Morris, one of the Behavioral Health Outpatient Supervisors at YKHC. And what I do is I simply help people, and I help those with mental health problems, mental health concerns, and mental health issues. At YKHC, I supervise the Behavioral Health Outpatient staff, and who those people are is the Behavioral Health Aides and the clinicians. They provide direct care for the clients within Bethel and within the surrounding YK service areas. In case you haven't noticed, I'm not from Bethel. I might have a little southern accent. I'm from Houston, Texas, and my background is working with within education, disabilities, and mental health. I've worked with people from preschools, so little ones from 3, 4, 5 years old, to youth, to adults, couples, individuals with typical mental health issues. I recently moved to Bethel about 2 months ago, and I'm learning a lot about Alaska and the community and culture, and I'm happy to be here. So that's me.
Hi, my name is Dennis Rains. I work at Bethel Family Clinic as a substance abuse counselor. A little bit about my background is I grew up in the villages of Quinnahock, Kotlik, Kwikalingok, Napakiak, and Point Hope. We moved down to Arkansas when I was 16 and came back in 2010. Since then, I've worked at Bethel, at YKHC, at PATC, the Residential Treatment Center, as a counselor. I've done individual group counseling. I've worked with people with substance abuse and co-occurring disorders. After that, in 2014, moved to Anchorage, started Teen Challenge in Alaska, moved to Anchor Point to promote and build and develop a program to help people with substance abuse, and also went to Fairbanks and started a program there and helped build and promote that program before returning back to Bethel, Alaska in 2016 to work back at PATC, the Residential Treatment Center. And a month ago, I started at Bethel Family Clinic as an outpatient counselor. What I do there is I do individual and group sessions. I do Smart Recovery, which is on Tuesday nights at 5:30. And we're starting AA there November the 9th at 5:30, also on Thursdays. So I also go to schools and do prevention and awareness, suicide prevention, bullying prevention, drug and alcohol prevention. And I go basically where I'm needed. I've worked with people with trauma and issues like that. So I'm very glad to be here, and thank you, Donna, for allowing me to be here and to tell y'all what services we offer and who we are, and maybe we can answer some of your questions. So thank you.
Well, thank you to both of you again. So we'll go ahead and get started. The reality of living with a mental health condition is faced by millions of Americans each year. However, everyone is affected directly and indirectly through family, friends, or coworkers. Mental illness is commonplace, but stigma and misunderstanding are also unfortunately widespread. Dianetta, can you explain to us what is meant by mental illness and what we want to achieve with behavioral health?
Sure. So mental illness is a health condition, and that's just simply put, it's a health condition. If you think of it in those terms, possibly that'll help decrease the stigma around mental illness. It's not being crazy, it's not being weird, or any of those other names that people who are, I think, typically afraid of the condition. It's not any of those things. If a person is sick, where does that person go? They go and see a physician, right? So how about a person that's having trouble with their vision? Where do they go? To the optometrist to get that corrected. So if a person is experiencing any problems with their thinking, severe social problems, consistent emotional or behavioral changes that's really significantly affecting their daily functioning, who should they see? They should see a mental health provider. And that's what mental illness is. It's a health condition that affects those things. It affects their thinking, their social abilities, and their emotional and behavioral abilities. So that's what mental illness really is. And with behavioral health, what we want to do is bring about awareness about what that is to help bridge the gaps that will eventually decrease the stigmas attached to mental illness.
And so you mentioned that mental illness affects not only a person's way of thinking, their emotional state, and even the way they interact with other people. Dianetta, will persons with the same diagnosis have the same experience?
No, they won't. So individuals with the same diagnosis, they may not have the same experience. Although the criteria for diagnosing an individual is the same, each individual is different, and so their experiences with that diagnosis may be different. If you have a person, for example, John Doe and Jane Doe, they're both diagnosed with a mood disorder, such as bipolar disorder. John may experience severe manic behaviors, meaning he may go on shopping sprees or something and splurge and waste all of his money, and is super excited and happy all the time. Whereas Jane, who has the same disorder, she may experience severe depression. So they have the same disorder, but their experiences are different. So individuals diagnosed with maybe anxiety disorders, they may display different symptoms as well within anxiety.
Okay, so just to delve into that a little bit more, we've got different mental health conditions, such as depression. You touched on mood disorders, such as bipolar disorder. We've heard things in the news and in our community like ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in children, generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Without going into too much detail, because each of these could be their own show, we know that a lot of these mental health conditions are related. People can have multiple diagnoses at the same time, and they can have multiple linked causes. Dennis and Dianetta, can you speak about maybe some of the common causes and processes that make some people more susceptible to mental illness, or just where some of this might come from for people to better understand that it is a mental health condition that can be treated?
Sure. Causes, it's hard to pinpoint a cause for it. I think the way us providers look at it is looking at the factors, looking at the different factors that contribute to those disorders. And so environment, that's something that we really, really like to look at. What is the individual's environment like? Physiological, biological factors, looking at genetics. So things like that play a big, big part in those disorders. Let's see, something like you mentioned ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. There are a lot of children that are diagnosed with it. And it seems now that it's becoming more and more of the most common diagnosis within children. We can look at the different types of foods that they eat and things of that nature that could possibly contribute to things like that. There are many, many, many different theories and research articles out there about the contributing factors to ADHD. Generalized anxiety disorders and obsession-compulsive disorders, those type of things, you really want to look at genetics and environment as well. Post-traumatic stress disorder, absolutely, that's environment. You look at our veterans, a lot of them have a diagnosis of PTSD. Trauma is just not relative and isolated for that particular group of folks either. I may experience trauma differently from how you may experience it or Dennis may experience it. So when looking at trauma, we have to look at that individual and how they deem or define it. So that's important too, to look at all those different factors that contribute to the diagnosis.
And I'd like to add to what she said. You know, there's a lot of people that go undiagnosed in the region. And sometimes the mental illness can lead to self-medication through alcohol or drugs. Mm-hmm. And they may not even be aware that they have a mental illness. People may not be aware of that. And so they use drugs and alcohol to self-medicate. So in order to get a proper diagnosis, an accurate diagnosis from someone that's been drinking or doing drugs for a while, is to get them into treatment, like say at PATC or some other residential treatment, get them clean and sober for a while, and then the mental illness, if there is one, will be able to diagnose. Mm-hmm. So sometimes mental illness can be a contributing factor to alcohol and drug use, and sometimes drugs and alcohol can be the factor to mental illness. So maybe causing it, or they may be using drugs and alcohol to self-medicate. So, and then, you know, were you asking about stigmatizing? Did I hear stigma in there?
No, not okay. Just like some of the factors. Right okay. Now, but we are going to get to that.
So, yeah, like you see a lot of depression. There's traumatic history that is very rapid, runs rapid out here. And a lot of people are affected by that. A lot of people are affected by the long, dark days. It's easy to get depression or feel isolated, alone. You know, when I first came back to Alaska in 2010, I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe that there was like 18 suicides just in this region alone. And so that says a lot right there, that there's definitely a problem, either with mental illness, with substance abuse, or both. And the causes and the conditions of that are probably isolation, long in the wintertime, long dark times and short daylight.
Is there a relationship between suicide and time of year?
From my understanding, the highest peak of suicide is right around the springtime. Something to do, I'm not exactly for sure about this, but what I've heard was that during the springtime, when you start getting more daylight, something happens to the brain, because you're so used to being dark all the time, that I guess the mind doesn't catch up with the body or something like that. And then that's when there's more risk of suicide, is in around March or those spring months like that. That's a big contributing factor. And alcohol, you know, that leads to suicide, domestic violence, assaults. So it's like one thing feeds the other. And a lot of people maybe afraid to come in and or to get help for that. But we want to reassure the people that there are resources available.
Dennis made a really, really good point about the alcoholism and self-medicating, and it might be due to a mental illness, or it may be the other way around. It's almost that notion of what came first, the chicken or the egg. And sometimes people don't realize that the alcoholism and the drug use is itself a mental illness. And it's just not having a good time going out drinking. But if you're drinking constantly to the point to where you're blacking out and doing things that you don't normally do, that very well could be what your mental illness is dealing with that, the alcoholism. And seeking the help for that is highly important to figure out what's causing it. We don't know if there's an underlying issue behind the drinking, behind the drug use. And so that's what we're here as mental health providers to do, is to find out what's the root of that issue, what's the root of that behavior, and to try to rectify it so that the person can be healthy.
So for those listeners just tuning in, we're discussing mental illness, and right now we just discussed substance abuse and its relationship with mental illness. To quote a statistic from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, in the last year, about 20 million adults, or about 8.5% of the population of the United States, had a substance use disorder. And of those 20 million, almost 8 million people had both a mental illness or mental health condition and substance use disorder. So when we're talking about the relationship between substance abuse and mental illness, there definitely is one. Can you tell us, Dennis and Dinetta, what to look for in terms of substance abuse that might denote mental illness, or when people should think about seeking help?
Sure. When people, some signs to look for are like isolation, eating more or eating less, sleeping more or sleeping less, withdrawal from friends, family, just irregular behaviors that's different from the norm. Those are all signs and symptoms to look for. The mood in the person, there's agitation, mood swings, and things of that nature.
Dennis, how can someone who is using substances like alcohol or drugs know that it's time or for them to seek help, and maybe it might be linked to an underlying mental illness?
Yeah, well, for someone who drinks, that maybe a problem drinker or an alcoholic, and when I say that, we're not trying to label anybody. Yeah. We're not, we talk about diagnoses and mental illness and substance abuse, but we're not trying to label anybody. We're not into that, labeling people. But what someone can do is usually a person who has a drinking problem, they're usually the last ones to know. It's usually the family members or friends that notice it way before the person that's drinking does. So what family members can do is open lines of communication. Don't try to force or control the person drinking, but just try to love them the best way you can and the best way you know how. Set boundaries with the person, emotional boundaries, physical boundaries, and things of that nature. And just talk to people. Say, hey, this is what we see here, and this is becoming a problem, and this is how it's affecting us. So I think being honest with each other and letting the family, friends, the community know about the problem instead of possibly putting our head in the sand and looking the other way is address it. But there's a way to do that with grace and love, but confront the person at the same time in a way that you might want to be confronted about something. The way that someone might be able to receive it, welcomely, instead of being, forced to or pushed away.
So I've got another statistic. 28.3% of American Indian, Alaska Natives are living with a mental health condition. And that's higher than some other populations. And the YK Delta is predominantly Alaska Native. Dineta, your work in behavioral health involves working with individuals, families, and community systems. What are some of the barriers that maybe prevent people from getting access to the right resource at the right time?
Good question. I think that there are numerous barriers when it comes to people seeking the right sources. Now, the right time, I'm just going to say that if they seek it, then that's the right time, as long as they're seeking it. But in regards to what type of barriers there are, I think the main one that we have touched on a little bit and probably will continue to touch on is the stigma that's associated with mental illness. Other barriers, including things such as economic barriers, like having a lack of insurance, for example, or the lack of education, poverty, mistrust is a biggie. The differences in the views of treatment, I'm learning that that is something to really, really consider being here in Alaska. So other barriers include such as economic barriers, like having a lack of insurance, a lack of education, poverty, mistrust, differences in the views of treatment, shortages of mental health professionals. We're hiring an mnemonic, by the way. We need a clinician. The differences in views and treatment. So what I've learned since I've been here in my 2 months of being in Alaska and Bethel is that there is a Western European way of addressing mental illness and there is a traditional Native way. Similarly, within my own culture, I'm African American. So within the African American culture, African Americans tend to run straight to the church or straight to the pastor if a mental illness is even suspected. We think that it's a spiritual thing, you know, oh, cousin so-and-so or auntie so-and-so is possessed with a spirit and they need to go to the church and pray it out of them. That's the African-American culture. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a believer. I don't want to sound like a non-believer, but I am. But like I said earlier, if you're sick, you go to the doctor. If you have if you're having a heart attack, you're going to go to the emergency room so that a cardiologist or somebody, a heart specialist, can address that symptom. So I'm going to call my pastor as I'm having my heart attack and tell him to pray for me, but, you know, I'm not going to go straight to the church to seek help for that particular thing. So what I'm saying is that people with these issues should go and seek help to the providers that are trained in dealing with such illnesses. So with the American Indian and Alaska Native culture, I'm learning that there are some similarities to my culture. And there is a spiritual approach, a holistic approach to treating people. And here at YK, we also want to incorporate that too. So we have a group of clinicians, we have a group of mental health providers that do traditional Native American counseling. And Dennis, you speak very good. And I said, no, you speak very well with the Yupik language. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It's Jolly Jahak. Okay, you said it much better than I did. we provide Jolly Jahak, and I think that's on Tuesday nights at 5:30. And they're going to be introducing a new group on Wednesdays maybe. But you guys can get the number at the end of the show to call to find out those exact days and times for that. But all that to say that we want to make sure that the person is treated in a holistic way. So first and foremost is their mind. And then that follows it with the body and the spirit as well.
So we've been talking a lot about stigma being one of the main barriers, discouraging people from seeking treatment, stigma being some of the beliefs that we hold that, like we said earlier, that mental health maybe is somebody's fault or it's a spiritual issue when really it's a health issue. And so people can seek treatment. And we've already talked about some of the barriers to care being maybe a lack of education on what kind of treatment's available. We're hearing from both of you the different forms of treatment at BFC and at YKHC. Can you, Dennis, as well, and Dinetta, what are your respective agencies doing to address this issue of stigma and increase access to care? Dinetta, you talked a little bit right now about the Native Alaskan counseling that YK is starting to provide, and that's amazing. So if you guys can just shed a little bit more light on what it is that we're actively doing to educate the community.
Well, one thing I know with Bethel Family Clinic is we're an integrated health system, and we have dental, medical, and behavioral health. So if somebody comes in for behavioral health, they get seen like a medical provider anyway, so nobody knows. So as they go get their blood pressures checked, temperatures checked, so it's not compartmentalized. Like, there's a behavioral health door, there's a medical door, and there's a dental door. You come in and nobody knows, you know, what you're there for, because we don't differentiate between that. So that's what we do to help with people who may feel like embarrassed or maybe feel like that they're stigmatized. Back to the barriers. There are some barriers, but there, you know, I just want to encourage people. Even though with the barriers are realistic, as try not to use barriers as excuses not to get help for treatment or for help. Even though there are barriers, keep looking, don't give up. Keep searching, keep knocking, keep asking someone in your community, and call Bethel Family Clinic or YKHC or public health nursing. We're all available. So what we're doing is we have the Smart Recovery on Tuesday nights, 5:30 to 6:30, and it's not just for alcohol or drugs. It's for other behaviors as well, like maybe under-eating, overeating, overspending, gambling, and behavior problems, and it's free for people 18 and up, co-ed. And then we have Alcoholics Anonymous on Thursday nights. So we want everyone to feel welcome, and we're like really family oriented. And we provide we have two clinicians on staff, and then me as a substance abuse counselor. And we have a medical facility and a dental facility. So we're here, and our number is 543-3773. And we want you guys to feel comfortable to get help. And we do VTC from Village Services. So that's one barrier for travel that if you have a computer or have access to one, we can see you and do assessments.
Dennis, can you just tell us what VTC is?
Oh, video teleconference. That way, if you have a computer or some kind of computer system with a camera on there, we can see you plug in from your home, wherever you're at, from our office, and do assessments or individual group counseling and stuff like that nature. So that really takes care of the distance barrier. And I speak some Yupik, so that would help with some of the language barriers. And so we offer a wide range of services, and you're welcome. And don't hesitate if you're struggling. Don't hesitate. I believe we don't have a judgmental atmosphere where we work in my workplace. And so don't let anything stand in between you or someone you know from getting help. So we're here if you need us.
I would say that stigma is probably one of the biggest barriers. And we've used that word a lot, and it just dawned on me that maybe we haven't defined what stigma actually means. And it's pretty much just a stereotype and a negative connotation or way of thinking about something, anything. And with mental illness and getting help for it, there's that stigma there. You know, Dennis, you mentioned it being your office being kind of ambiguous. People don't really know what you're going in there for. And that's really good. It lessens the person's anxiety or worry that they may have. Well, what if somebody sees me going into the behavioral health office? Or what if they know I have a counselor? And I think a part of my job and platform is to really eliminate those worries. That's the stigma. We don't want that stigma. We don't want the people to have to worry about that. It should be common. It should be okay for people to seek help for that. As a mental health provider myself, I have a counselor, you know, and that's okay. That doesn't mean, like I said earlier, doesn't mean that I'm crazy or I'm weird or anything like that. That means that I care about my mental health. And just like I have a physician and just like I have a dentist, I have a counselor. So it's okay for people to seek help. So that's one of the biggest barriers. But things such as this show, Wellness Wednesdays, that will help decrease the stigma as well, because we are talking about it. You guys are having this show to help educate people, and that's a great thing, and bring about the awareness that's needed. We at YKHC, we try to educate people as much as possible. When clients come to us for help, we try to take that opportunity to educate them, to reduce that shame and that fear that they have in regards to getting treatment. We try to talk to their family members that may come with them about eliminating those fears that they may have and the shame. Our providers that we have, they're also required to be active within the communities and the villages to help promote positive mental health and well-being. So we want people to know that we're here, that we're here for them, and we're here for a cause. And anyone interested in seeking help, to let them know that we're here. The behavioral health aides that are out in the villages and the clinicians, they work really hard, and they are going to be putting together a variety of different groups that are going to be available for the community as well. Some of the groups that they're going to be offering are things as substance abuse support groups, anger management groups, and so on and so forth. So the help is here, and we also use the VTC, the video teleconferencing, as well. So that eliminates a barrier of, well, I can't get there. Well, we can get to you, and we can get to you straight from your computer. So we take pride in that as well. But just know that the stigma is the biggest barrier, and people out there can help with that too, just by talking to people about it, sharing what they know and their experience about mental illness, and that'll help decrease the stigma as well.
So, Dianetta, we do. Both of you touched on having the video teleconference or VTC resources, but you also mentioned the Behavioral Health Aid Program, which is amazing. And I don't know how long it's been around. If you can tell us a little bit about that, but also we do have behavioral health aides in the villages, and so how can someone get in touch with a BHA?
So we have, YKHC has about, and forgive me if I miscount, we're in the process of hiring some new ones right now, so I may be off count by one or two people, but we have about four or five clinicians. Those are licensed mental health providers. Three of them are based here in Bethel, and the rest of them are out in the villages. So we have one in St. Mary's, one in Hooper Bay, and one in Antioch. So each of those areas have a sub-regional clinic, and I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. However, the main clinic here in Bethel, somebody can call that number, and then they can get the numbers to those sub-regional clinics. And that number is 543-6100. The behavioral health aides, we have several behavioral health aides. They're spread out all over the YK Delta service area. So they're in Hooper Bay. They're in Mountain Village. They're in Neposkiac. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And like I said, we have some vacant positions. And those areas that don't have them, we still cover and still assist. Then all we do now is just take a behavioral health aide from one village and fly them to the next village so that they can have somebody there to speak with. And not to forget, the VTC is always an option too. So we have, I guess, a total of about 25 providers that can be of assistance to the community.
I just want to thank both of you again for being here and answering these questions. If anybody listening needs any help or has further questions, wants to talk about behavioral health, you can call the Bethel Family Clinic at 543-3773. YKHC Behavioral Health is 543-6100. And there's also a 24-hour, seven days a week crisis response line, which is 543-6499. If you have any questions, you can contact public health as well if you have questions about this show or how to get in touch with somebody else. And that phone number is 543-2110. Dinette and Dennis, if you have anything else to say, we really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays on KYUK, a show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.